Last week, former Victorian Premier Jeff Kennett said that remote workers should take a pay cut, as 174,000 public sector employees were given the green light to work from home indefinitely. Professor Julia Richardson, the head of Curtin's School of Management and Marketing and an internationally recognised expert in careers, human resource management and work-life balance, joins us now to have a little bit of a deeper look at the situation. Good morning, Professor Richardson.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, working, well, here in the studio. I do like being here. Well, we thought people would return to the office after COVID lockdowns finished. Is this the strongest evidence that there's, well, no turning back now, given the public sector's jumped aboard?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I think this is really a sea change in how we view work, where it can be done and how it can be done, and introducing much more flexibility to business performance indicators. So certainly this is very much a sea change.
But do you expect to see other sectors now pushing for work from home arrangements?
I do indeed, yeah. I think that actually more and more organisations are now recognising that, in fact, employees can very much work very effectively at home. It can also facilitate work-life balance. And actually, research shows very clearly that there isn't necessarily a reduction in performance outcomes. People tend to be much more focused. Also, of course, you get a reduction in organisational turnover. So, you know, I think it's a really good thing.
And how is the research going into work-life balance? Because if you're working from home, there's other, well, jobs that are going to pop up. I mean, if you're working from home and there's a couple of kids under your feet, you're working two jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think this is really where we need to exercise some caution. To begin with, we need to start training managers to be able to actually manage people who are working from home. Because it's one thing to manage somebody who's actually in the office, somebody you see every day. It's a very different thing to manage somebody who you may not see at all, or you may only see one or two times a week. I think also from an employee's perspective, you have to be very, very careful. This doesn't now mean that you can take the kids out of the crèche, out of daycare, and have them at home with you all day. I think from an employee perspective, we have to give them training on how to maximize their performance and how to actually work from home. It's not just a case of saying, yes, you can work home, leave it up to you to arrange yourself, but we have to support them so that they continue with that high performance as necessary.
Yeah, well, and it's not just other distractions, for example, that can make it difficult. Working to flexible hours can mean that you don't easily mesh with other workers. With other situations that require, say, a response, say, within a day.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that's where it's up to management and the employees to work together to ensure that those performance targets are met. And we do know that, you know, yes, working from home does have some very positive sides, but you've also got to be careful about the more concerning areas. For example, we do know that it can have problems with regard to knowledge transfer, community spirit in the workplace. Employees, they don't see each other as often as they used to. We have to think about how is that going to impact on departmental and company culture. So, you know, it's not necessarily a good thing 100%. There are some things that we need to manage very, very carefully.
Is working from home the only solution to a better work-life balance? I mean, would something like a four-day work week still be preferable to, like, the working from home option?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There are lots of different things that organisations and employees can explore. I mean, you don't have to be working from home 5 days a week. You could be working from home, say, 1 or 2 days a week. Do it on a rota system. But also, for example, with regard to work-life balance, it's also up to organisations, again, to negotiate with employees about, you know, drawing the line about what work you need to do after hours. Ideally, employees shouldn't be working after hours. How are we going to manage access to phones and so forth, what is considered out of bounds. So there are lots of ways in which we can address issues to do with work-life balance.
Well, I can imagine it would be a very difficult area to manage, especially if you had an employee that worked extraordinarily well between the hours of 7 and midnight.
Yeah, it would be, but then we have to think about, yes, that may suit the employee, but the bottom line has to be, how will it impact on overall organisational performance? Because the organisation has to run smoothly. You can't be revolving everything around the wishes of the employee. And again, really, it's more a matter of negotiation to see what works best so that you get that win-win situation.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to On The Record on The Sound Alternative. I'm Jeff Bull, and I'm talking to Professor Julia Richardson from Curtin School of Management and Marketing about working from home. Now, Julia, what would you have to say to someone like Jeff Kennett saying that people should take a pay cut? I mean, can the Australian economy sustain working from home arrangements?
No, I think, to be honest, my concern about that statement is that it actually seems to have this false assumption that when you work from home that your performance goes down, and that's not necessarily the case. Again, with effective management, performance will continue. So I'm not really sure why you would reduce somebody's income simply because they're working from home. It's about their performance and measuring and ensuring that their performance is sustained. If they're going half-time, then, of course, rationally speaking, you would reduce their income. But if they're still working full-time, if their performance is still the same, then I don't think it's an issue.
So, Jeff Kennett's pretty well off the mark with this one. It's the tail trying to wag the dog.
Well, you have to be really careful in terms of what the underlying assumptions are.
Right. And what assumptions do you think he's working on to get us to a point that seems to be so alien to the idea?
Yeah, I think one of the underlying assumptions, and this often happened in the, you know, many, many years ago when people initially started working from home, you know, there were some underlying assumptions that, oh, you're taking the day off, that you're working from home so I can call round and have a cup of coffee. In other words, that you're slacking off a bit. But actually, that's not necessarily the case. And again, it's about effective management to ensure that those KPIs are still met. So it's not necessarily about where you're working, but it's about what are you actually doing? Are you meeting those KPIs? And if that's the case, then of course, that's a success. That's a win-win for everybody.
In terms of the economy, it wouldn't seem that they are really factoring in the benefits that working from home has for the environment. I mean, less travel time, that's got to be good for everything.
Oh, look, absolutely. Some years ago, I did some research looking at the Greater Toronto Area, and what we found was that employees who are working from home, their overall well-being actually increased and their performance increased precisely because they weren't clogged up in traffic jams for 1 or 2 hours every morning and then every evening when they're going home. We had a reduction, obviously, in car travel, in use of gas, so that's really, really important. But there is a downside to this. Of course, if you're working from home, then you're going to have more heating in the winter. You're going to have more air conditioning in the summer. So, you know, what you're saving in gas prices may actually be an increase in your heating and your cooling costs when you are working from home.
Right. So a greater, maybe even a greater personal cost.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was really interesting in the research that I did is that people were much more likely to start raiding the fridge and having a few more tea and biscuit breaks than they would normally have if they were at work. So that's something you have to be really careful. And that's especially the case for single people, of course, because if you're sitting at home, you're not having that social interaction as much when you go to work. You've got to keep a watch on that waistline.
Well, I will have to bear that one in mind. I know my dog would be much happier, but I couldn't see my health improving that much.
Actually, that's an important point you raised there about pets, because we also found actually that after COVID, when people started returning from back into the office, you know, that pets were getting a little bit grumpy because they're used to their owners being home with them the whole time. So pets had to make that adjustment as well.
Everybody's got a little bit of management to do, it would seem.
Everybody's got a finger in this particular pie.
Professor Julia Richardson, thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about working from home. And let's hope that the whole movement, it keeps evolving.
That's indeed. Thank you very much.
That's a pleasure. That is Professor Julia Richardson from Curtin School of Management and Marketing, talking to us there about the move to working from home.